Hello, welcome to another exciting episode of Ham Radio Unlimited. I'm Mike, Kilo 3 Delta Oscar, and today we're going to talk about this hotspot. It's called Ashari, and it's a little different than the previous video that we did, because this actually is a hotspot for either Echo Link or All-Star, so it's an analog hotspot, where the other one supported the digital modes. And this, again, comes as a kit. You can get it fully assembled. There's a little extra cost involved, and this particular one is for a Raspberry Pi 4. I have a Raspberry Pi 3 one as well, and I assembled it, but you can get these pre-built. But in the case of the 4, you got to send them a Raspberry Pi, because you do have to do a little bit of soldering on the Raspberry Pi. Simple, not difficult to do, and it's not difficult to assemble at all. There's a few case modifications you got to do with a drill, and we'll walk through all of that. But this video is to walk through the assembling of the Ashari hotspot, which allows you to connect to Echo Link or All-Star with a regular handheld right in your home. So we'll be right back and we'll get started on this build. All right, before we get into the build of the Ashari device, there are a few prerequisites that are needed to configure the Ashari device. And these are pretty quick to do, and if you haven't done them yet, you can do them while we work on building the Ashari device. The first one is you need to have an account on All-Star. This is free, but it's pretty quick to do. And if you don't have one, there should be a card up to the top right of the screen that you can click on, and we have a video we've created to walk you through creating an account. It's pretty quick, and again, it's free. The other thing you must have before configuring the Ashari device is also a node setup on All-Star. Again, this is free and it's very simple to do, and there should be another card up on the top right that walks you through configuring a node. The links to both these videos are also in the video description down below in case you missed the cards up there. The third thing is you must have some SSH software, which is also free. And if you're on a Mac, a Linux, or a Windows 10 or higher, it's already built into the machine. You don't have to worry about doing anything. But if you're on an older version of Windows, you need to download a program called PuTTY. I'll put a link to that in the description as well. It's a very small program. You can just put it on your desktop and you can use it to do the same thing we're going to do from the command line. And you also must have an Ethernet connection. The Ashari device needs to be plugged into Ethernet. I don't think it supports Wi-Fi, at least I haven't figured out how to do that. So you just plug it directly into your router or Ethernet jack somewhere. So those are the prerequisites that we need before we configure, and I'll go over these again when we get close to installing the software. Okay, so when I order my Ashari, you have the option of buying them pre-assembled, and they will put them together for you. I just had the Ashari that I had before, which was for a Raspberry Pi 3. I gave it to a friend. He moved to South Carolina, and our repeater here that I manage also has both Echo Link and All-Star on it. So the Ashari is what that's for. So I gave it to him, and because I wanted to upgrade to a Raspberry Pi 4 with a little bit different case. So this is how it comes if you don't get it assembled. So I'm gonna take it apart here and take everything out and show you what it comes with. And then I'm gonna do a video of assembling. And it actually is not hard to assemble. There's really only one thing you gotta solder, or maybe two things you gotta solder. And it's really simple. So this actually is a little different because the, I think I showed you, by now I should have showed you the page. I haven't gotten that far yet, so I don't know if I did or not. If I want to, on the website, you'll see that the ones for the Raspberry Pi 3 kind of plug in the end. It worked fine for me because I just stuck it in my Raspberry Pi rack and it was a big deal. But I wanted something I could keep here in the shack without it having to be all hanging around. So they make a Raspberry Pi version, a Raspberry Pi 4 version that fits in this nice little case. And it kind of reminds you of like a regular hotspot. So that's what I was looking to upgrade to. So that's what this is. Alrighty. So here we go. This is the radio module. I'm sure some of you have seen these radio modules before and other things. Right there. Nice little sticker. And then here's the actual Ashari itself. So take it out and you can see the soldering part. It has to be done. Get it out of the case here. All right, there we go. Get that out of the way. So here's the Ashari board itself, and then you have to solder this chip right here. I'm not gonna take it out of the bag because it's very sensitive.
the static. So, but you can see the pins, these are not hard to, these are not hard to solder at all. You could do it in a surface. Well, I wouldn't actually wouldn't use an oven because there's already surface mount parts on here. You might actually mess them up. Are they on the side? No, it's only on one side, so it probably wouldn't hurt. But you can, it's easy to do with the soldering iron. So I'm going to do a video, show you how you put that on there. So that's the Shuri itself. You have to, let me see what you got to solder. What else you got to solder? Well, you got to solder this on. So it go underside like that. Oh, I'm not going to do that right now. And it looks like the other thing you got to solder on is this antenna, which goes on right here. So as another easy solder. So, and then there's a wire here that goes to the Raspberry Pi. So the Raspberry Pi itself has to have a the USB connection brought over. So just a couple of things to solder. They send you a 3D printed end to replace the end that's on this case. That's my guess. That's how they did the other one that I got. All right, I stopped the camera there for a second. I had to go grab something to open us up with because it was needed a knife or something. So, but I'm back. I'm gonna get this out of the case. It's like a neat little case. Oh yeah, nice little case. Argon. All right. Well, of course, take that off first thing. See multiple pieces to it. Just like that. All right, it's nice. Nice heavy duty case. And I'm not sure exactly what piece I replaced with this. So I'll have to figure that out. I don't see anything that really. All right, we'll figure that out when you look at the instructions. But this is how it comes when you order one unassembled. So we're going to go and assemble the Shuri now, and then after we get it assembled, we'll come back and put the software on it on the Raspberry Pi and show you how it all kind of works. So next step, to the workbench. Okay, so here we are. We're gonna put the Shuri together, and this is actually kind of scary to some people. And normally when I do these things, something like this, I would actually surface mount. So, but I've done this many times now, so it's not overly difficult to do. I'm actually gonna do this one first because I think this is the most difficult and scary to most people. So this is the actual radio module. So when you talk about the radio transmitter, this is it. It comes as a module. It's programmable and a bunch of other things. So it's an off-the-shelf product. It makes it a quick way to develop a radio product. On the board here, that you need to match it up so that this end that it has the pins, it goes down here. So it goes like this. So the very first one you put on is the hardest one because you gotta make sure you get it all everything aligned right, because after you get the first one on, it's not easy to realign it again. So I'm gonna take a little bit of time here to make sure I get everything lined up. Just like that. And I'm gonna do the first one here really quick, and we can still heat it up and move it around, but the goal is you don't wanna, sorry, I hit my head. I have my headlamp on and I wanna make sure that's close enough. All right. So I'm just gonna do one of these down here in the end. Heat this up. You see I already kind of moved it, but I'm going to take that, use it to my advantage to get this pin on here. If it's lined up okay, I'm good to go now. It's not quite lined up the way I want it to, so we're going to heat it back up. And just move it just a tad. And I'll come back and clean that up. Alright, so if that's good, and it does look good, so I'm going to go on this side now. And I'm going to start soldering these. It's not much different than soldering other things. We've got to make sure it flows under that board so that you get soldered into that board. Okay, so just takes a little bit of patience. There is a tiny little piece of where you can heat that board up right here on the side. So that's the hardest part, just making sure you're getting it under there. Okay, all right, gonna go down and do all these now. And you can tell, you can see it, the solder flows under there pretty quickly whenever it's hot, just like that.
It doesn't take real long.
Okay. Almost done with one side already. We'll do the end now and clean up the one that I already did. It doesn't take a whole lot of solder is the thing, so it's okay. That turned out okay, is it, without doing too much to it. And you just gotta make sure that it's under there, and if you touch the side where the copper is on the outside, I'll show you here, you can see on the outside of this board. A little bit of copper there, and that's what you got to get heated up so it flows under there. Not super difficult. Lots of times people will put this into a reflow oven and do like surface mount, but you do have to be kind of careful. Some of these parts, I don't know about this particular one, what the heat rating is on it compared to solder, so it's always possible that you can damage it in an oven like that. But if you're careful, it's real easy to do. The rest of the parts on here were soldered like that, which is kind of interesting. Makes you kind of wonder why they didn't do it the whole. Sorry, I keep hitting it with my little headlamp or thing in here. Magnifying glass. Doesn't look good. There it goes. Okay. All right. That looks good. So let's do this next. So this would go on the bottom because it goes on top of the Raspberry Pi. So this goes like this. And I'm just going to attack one of them. And we'll get it straight. I'll pick this one right here. Alright, starts tacked. You can see it's not straight. So that's why you tack. You can now take and push it on straight. It's actually heated up. See where it goes. Let's make sure it's straight now. Looks straight. That's why you tack. Alright, now we can go through and do them all. Let me clean the tip here real quick. Alright, so there we go. We got our connector on. Checking over my work here. Don't see anything wrong, so good. So we got one more piece yet. That goes soldered onto this board, and that is this antenna right here. I'm going to unscrew the actual antenna from it. And the way this works, if I can get it off, well, helps if I unscrew the right thing. Okay. This goes on the end, kind of like this. Let's see. 3, 2. So it goes like this, just like that. So let's make sure we get it straight. I'm actually going to use this as a prop until I get the first pin on. All right. Clean my tip here again. And I'm actually going to start with the center pin because that's the most important one. If I have to adjust anything, I'll make sure I adjust that one. Yeah, see, it's moving. I think what I'm going to do is actually put a little solder there and then push this on to where it belongs. Got a little jump there I gotta fix, but It should be enough to hold it. Let me just do the other side so it's holding it. And then I'll come back and clean the other side up. And this is just ground, so as long as we've got a good ground, we're good. Okay. So now let's come back and make sure I fix up the... Sorry, I keep hitting my head. It's a big donk on the microphone, I'm sure. All right. Center pin because it needs to make sure it's good flow between it and the board. Looks like I got a little much on there, maybe. But we'll do a test here in a little bit to make sure I'm not shorting anything out anywhere with that. It's flowing good on the board, so it's good. So is that. All right. Well, that's it. I'll go make sure that I didn't short anything out with that, just to be perfectly positive. I'm not going to blow anything, but that looks good. You can see, there's our Shari board. So the one thing left to do, and I'm going to stop this video and go get it because I don't have it here with me, is this goes on to the Raspberry Pi. So actually, there's this goes on here too. So one of these does. So I'll go put that on real quick. Let's see where it goes. I thought it was already on there, but it's not. So what this is from the Raspberry Pi to the Shari, there needs to be a USB. So we're going to solder this onto the USB on the Pi, but it needs this plug right here to do that. So it actually goes right here. So we'll go ahead and do a quick tack. Gotta be careful because this piece down here is still very warm. Yes, I just found out. Didn't cool down very fast. Alright, so we're going to just tack one of these to make sure it doesn't fall out. And I'm going to do a quick, I see the picture. Make sure I was doing it the right direction. Okay, that's good. Let's go ahead and clean this up then. I'll solder the other one and then clean up the one I just tacked down. What's going on here? Sorry. Hopefully, I'm not making y'all sick by hitting my head on that. I need to find a better way to mount the camera. That's not right on top of my magnifying head here. Okay. All right, there's that. Okay, so we're good there. Let me go stop the video and go find the Raspberry Pi, and we'll do that real quick. Okay, for this Shari install, this may be the scariest thing for some people. I'm making sure I'm doing it right there. You gotta solder this on to black on the TP6 and red on the TP10, which is right here on the Raspberry Pi. So, I think I'm going to try to prepare myself a little bit ahead of time here by maybe adding some additional solder. Because when I get down here to do this, I don't wanna spend a lot of time on these. TP6, TP10. All right, so black goes to 6. So we will solder 6, or black to 6, right here. Now I'm actually going to turn it around so that I have it like this. Yep, TP6, put the wire in there. don't want to get too close to another pin. I'm not sure what the pins are, so try to keep them separated. Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of right there. I could have a bridge. I think it's kind of too close is the problem. The wire's just a bit too long. Let me readjust it again. There we go. Alright. And we'll do this one. Nope, not both, just one. Alright, I actually got them both at the one point there, so need to go back to this one real quick. All right, there we go. Okay. Wasn't too scary. So, reading through some of the instructions here, there are some changes I got to make to the case. So, I'm not quite sure what they all are, but there is some physical changes to the case that I have to make. So, also, I need to take off the heat sink because there's a heat sink built into the case, which is great because when I put the shard on top, that was too big. So, I need to remove that. Easy enough done. So let's see. And I can't finish this until I do modify the case, so I'll have to do that. But this kind of goes, I believe, like this, and then it'll connect to the Raspberry Pi, which goes on the bottom. There's the heatsink for it. So seems like it'd be pretty easy to put together, but let me read in the instructions and I'll come back and do another video on what I have to do to modify the case to complete this. Before I show you the modifications to the case, you remember this piece that I got that I thought was to replace one of the end caps or something, which I believe is how it was on the old, or the original one that I got from them? Well, that's not what this is. This is actually a template. So this is a template that you can use to mark on the case where the holes need to go. So if we put this on the case, it goes like this. But one of the things I want to make sure, because I made this mistake already, you can see I already marked the case right here, but the problem is I marked it and it was upside down. So they recommend you use like an auto punch or some kind of punch. My auto punches do not fit through those little holes. So you can see I ended up using a gray Sharpie to put marks on it, but I put them on upside down first until I realized what was going on. So it looked odd and I'm glad I went back and checked it. But after I make the marks, we're gonna jump out and we're gonna drill the holes real quick. All right, here is our finished Shari, ready to go put software on it. We're getting ready to create the software for it, load the software, but I wanted to show it here, back here at the desk. So here's the Shari all assembled. You can see I made a few mistakes. I put the thing on upside down. It's a couple little dots there, but you can't really tell. It looks great. It's a nice metal case. It's a heat sink built into it. So this is a great little hotspot. This is a great little design. So, but the next step is to download and load the software onto an SD card, just like this right here. I got one ready to go. We're gonna download the software, or we're gonna load it, and then we're gonna walk through setting it up. All right, so the next step is to download the software and make the SD card that's going to allow this new Shari device to boot and be our hotspot. And we're gonna use some already designed software. It's from HamVoIP, which is an Asterisk All-Star, and it's a built-in image for the Raspberry Pi. So we're going to do this first by going to hamvoip.org, which you'll see here at the very top in the address bar right there. I'll put a link to it in the show description down below as well. And when you get there, we need to go to the download
right here. So we go to download, and this will take us down, and we're going to need to scroll down just a little bit here. These are instructions for how you can install it using Disk Imager on Windows, or if you're on a Mac or a Raspberry or any kind of Linux, you can use this command. You need a sudo in front of it, but that's what this is for. But we're going to scroll down here, and we're actually going to download the files themselves. You can download on a Windows if the EXE, that way it's self-extracting. Or you can download the EXE if you have a way to extract the EXE image on your Windows machine. If you're on a Linux machine though, you need to download the EXE. So we're going to go ahead, you can download either one of these two depending on which one that you have on your machine. I'm on a Mac, so I'm going to download the EXE version for this demonstration, but either one will work. It doesn't matter. The installation is not, doesn't matter which one you download. It's whichever one's easy for you to open. So I'm going to go ahead and download this All-Star. It's not very big. It's only 309 megabytes, so it shouldn't take very long to come down. So I'm going to pause it here and wait till this comes down. Okay, once that comes down, you need to open it up. So if you're on Windows, you can download the EXE version. You can just double click it and it'll uncompress everything. And if you're on a Linux machine, you need to uncompress it using some kind of utility that can undo an EXE. On a Mac, it opens it up automatically. It's built in. So we're going to do something a little different. We're not going to follow these instructions at the top. These instructions at the top do work, but there is a new tool out from Raspberry Pi, since we're installing on a Raspberry Pi, that we can make this a little bit easier, a little bit more graphical and a little user-friendly. So if you go to the raspberrypi.com site, again, I'll put this link down in the bottom, and you come over here to software, and you scroll down, you're going to find this Raspberry Pi installer, Raspberry Pi Imager. And using this, we can very quickly, using a mouse, select the image you want to install and what device you want to install it on, and then click the start, and it'll just install it for us. It's much easier than going through Win32 Disk Imager or even on the Mac. I mean, I'm a command line person, and I use this sometimes as well. So depending on what operating system you are on, I'm going to download for the Mac, obviously. But if you're on Windows or if you're on Ubuntu, you can download these two as well. So let's go ahead and download this. And that was quick for me. You see I've downloaded it recently as well. So now we're going to go and install this. So depending on your operating system, if you download it for Windows, it'll walk you through the install. And if you're on a Mac, you basically drag that into your applications folder and it's installed. So we need to go do that next. So we'll go pause here, go ahead and click the pause button. And then we'll come back and we'll walk through how to use this Disk Imager to make the image. All right, now that we've downloaded our image, we need to expand it. So if you downloaded the .exe file and you're on a Mac, you can just double click on it and it will expand. If you're not on a Mac, you get to figure out what you can do to expand that file. And if you are on a PC and you downloaded the .exe, you can double click on it and it will expand the file as well. After you expand the file and you get the .img file, it's time that we burn it to a micro SD card. And we're going to use the Raspberry Pi Imager that we downloaded prior to do that. So it's really simple to do. It's graphical, which is why I kind of like this. It's not so scary as the command line tools. First thing you do is we got to choose our OS. So we come up here and we choose our OS. And if we scroll to the very bottom where it says use custom, you click on that. And now it opened a dialog box. You're not going to see it on your screen because for some reason my recording software won't record this particular dialogue. But what I see here is the image I just downloaded. So I'm going to come to the image I just downloaded and we are going to double click on it. And you see it pops right in there. That's the image that we downloaded. Next, we need to select where we want to write it to. I have plugged in my 8 gigabyte SD card and or 16 gigabyte. I can't remember what size it was. And you come over here, you choose storage. There it is. It was 8 gig. There's our 8 gigabyte card. We select that and we simply click on the write button. And it's going to warn you that this will overwrite and erase whatever's on that card. So I know that. So I'm going to go ahead and say, yes, I want to continue. And it starts to write just like that. This will take probably about 5 minutes or so. So we will fast forward through this section. We'll be right back. All right, we are in the verifying stage. At this point, the Raspberry Pi imager is going to validate that what it wrote to the card got written there just fine. And as soon as this is done verifying, we'll fast forward to the rest of it. We will continue on the installation. Alrighty, so it just completed. It tells you that you can now remove it from the SD card reader. So we're going to click on continue. We're going to remove the SD card and we will jump back over to insert the card now. Okay, well, we just finished loading up the card here and we're going to take it out of the adapter just like this. And we're going to stick it on in the Shari. If you turn it upside down, you can see right here is a little hole for the Raspberry Pi 4. And where the card goes. So the card just slides in just like, make another card than it is, just like that, slides in just like that. All right, we're gonna go plug it in now and we're gonna boot it up and we're gonna start programming it. As we get ready to configure the software, I wanna remind you that we have a few prerequisites. First one is you must at this point, before we go any farther, have an account set up on OnStar. You also must have a node set up. And as part of the node setup, you will need your node number and your node password. So those are things we're going to have to configure very early on in the configuration of the Shari device. We're going to walk through configuring the software with SSH, which means you have to have some kind of secure shell or SSH program. If you're on a Mac or on any kind of Linux or Raspberry Pi, or on Windows 10 or higher, you already have this. And we will just use the command line. The other option that you have is you can connect this Raspberry Pi to a keyboard, a mouse, and a monitor. That will work just fine as well. If you have all of those and you would like to do it that way, we can skip the whole SSH part of it. And the last thing you need is an Ethernet connection. So you need to plug the Shari into your Ethernet, either on your router or some other switch you have in your house. I cannot determine if it supports Wi-Fi, and if that's the case, maybe I'll do a video later on how you can do that. But I don't see where it supports it out of the box. All right, so on a Mac, I am on a Mac, so we'll be doing this installation from a Mac, but there is a program in utilities. If you go to your applications and utilities, and it's called Terminal, and it looks something like this. Let me bring up mine. It will look, let me bring this into the screen. Oops, I'll do that. It will look something like this. It'll just be a command line like this. On Windows, if you want to bring up your command line, if you're Windows 10 and higher, you can go down at the bottom where it says type here to search, and just type in CMD for command. And you just press enter, and it'll bring up a command prompt. I can't really show you this on this recording since I'm on a Mac, but it will look something very similar to this. And this is where we're going to do our configuration from. If you are on a Windows, something before Windows 10, you're gonna have to download a program like PuTTY. And there's a link in the description to download PuTTY. You can stick it on your desktop, and when you double click it, it'll come up and ask you for the IP address you want to connect to, which is where we're going to start with first in configuring the Shari. So I just wanted to go through the prerequisites before we get started. Let's jump over to installing software on the Shari. Now that we've gone through the prerequisites, we have to figure out where our Shari device is on the network. So let's assume you've plugged it in to Ethernet and you've plugged in the Shari. So there's a couple of things we can do, different ways we can find the IP address. The first one, and I'm showing it on the screen here, basically, if you know Morse code, you can look at the LED, particularly with the Raspberry Pi, it's the green LED, and it will, it looks like three times it will give you the IP address, and it'll be hi, and then, for example, 192.168.0.123, and that will be your IP address. But if you don't know Morse code, the other option we have is to look in your router. There's no easy way to find this except going to your router. The other option that you have is if you are plugged in directly to it, so your mouse and keyboard and monitor are plugged directly into the Shari device, you don't need to know the IP address. We're going to log directly into it. So, I'll give you an example. I'm going to show you where it is, on how I find it on my network. So, let me go log into my router and show you how it looks. Just logged into my router, and you're going to see that I'm not your typical home router here. I do static all my stuff, so it's easy for me to find mine. But what will happen is it'll come up in your DHCP pool. So you need to log into your router and search for the DHCP section of your router and look for assigned addresses. In my case, I know it's going to be up here in the 100 range. And the interesting thing is it comes up as AlarmPy. I'm not quite sure why it does this, but AlarmPy is what it comes up as. So I know I'm 125, 1.125. So now that I know that, we're going to jump over to the command line and we're going to SSH into it. And the one thing to remember about these devices, these Shari devices particularly, and with an All-Star node, is they don't use regular port 22. They set it to 222. So we're going to have to do a little bit of an override, which is really simple when we connect to it. You just can't use the default port that's assigned for SSH. So let's jump over now to the command line and we will log into the Shari device for the first time. All right, here we are at a terminal. And I tried to make this as big as I could. Hopefully it's still readable. And what we're going to do first thing is we're going to connect to our Shari. So to do this on both Windows 10 and above and on a Mac or any Linux, we're going to use the same exact commands. So if you're on PuTTY, you're going to have to start PuTTY. It will ask you for the IP address and ask you for the port as well. The port should default to 22 in PuTTY, but the answer we need is really 222. So we need to change that 22 to 222. So in our case here at the command line, we're going to do SSH. We're going to put the dash P for the port, 222. And on the Shari, we log in as root. So it's dash L is the login and root. And we press enter. Oh no, first of all, we go get the IP address. That's very helpful. So we're going to connect to 10.232.1.125. So the command line is SSH, dash P to change the default port to 222, dash L for the login of root, and then our IP address of our Shari device. So here we go. And the first time you connect to it, it's going to want to know if you want to accept it, the key that's being shared. We're going to say yes, because it's not known to us yet. We're going to say yes, and it will store that. And here we go for the password. And the default password, initial password is root. There we go. And first time we log in, we're going to say, do we want to retrieve the latest system updates? Yes, we want to do this. So we're going to say yes to this. And this is going to take a little while, so I will fast forward through this. All right, then we come to this. The system has been updated. And we'll reboot to apply the changes. So we're going to say OK by pressing Enter. And you see we got disconnected. That's because the Shari is now rebooting itself. So this will take a minute or so. One of the things you can do, just you want to see if it's back up or not, is you can just do ping and the IP address that you have from your router. And it'll keep doing this. And when you see that it start responding, you can just press Control C. Or you can just wait for a couple minutes and try it again. It's totally up to you. So there it's responding. I'm going to press Control C. I'm going to wait like another 10 seconds or so. And a little trick in both Windows and in Linux at the command line is you can use the up arrow key to find your previous commands. So there's our previous connection. I'm going to go ahead and press Enter. And the password is still root. R-O-O-T. Okay, and we just did this. We don't need to do it again. So we're going to say no. We don't need to do updates again. Would you like to run the first setup now? And the answer to that is absolutely yes. We want to do that. So it's going just to change the root password to something other than root. I'm just going to stick in a short password I use for a lot of these demonstrations. And the password has been set. All right, so as we go forward here, I want to make one note of something. If you're on a Windows PC, you do not want to use the number pad on the right-hand side when entering information. Lots of times those keys will generate, depending on what mode it's in, some weird characters, and which can cause some problems, and you may have to run through the setup once again. Just for purposes of continuity, I would say even on a Mac or a Unix machine, do the same thing. Do not use those number pads on the right-hand side. Use the number keys above, the QWERTY, instead of using the ones on the right. All right, so we're going to come up here and say, is this a private node? And we're going to say no to this. It's not a private node. So we need to know our node number. As I mentioned in the prerequisites, we need to know our node number, so I will enter in my node number now. Okay, my node number for this particular one is 425790. Just like that, and we press OK. Of course, we want to set it up for Asterisk. Asterisk is the underlying software that runs the node, so it's going to say yes to that. And no configuration will run after reboot. So we're going to go ahead and click OK. All right, so when I ask you for the time zone configuration, I actually am in the East Coast, in America, New York. So I would say no to this normally. But just to demonstrate what it looks like, if you are in a different time zone, I'm gonna say yes. I can still pick my time zone. And we're gonna scroll down here and we're going to find America, New York. So it is in alphabetical order. Should be getting close here. There it is, America, New York. See, it's already selected, so I'm just going to say okay, but you could, if you want to select like America, Nassau, you would hit the space bar to select it, to select that. So I am America, New York. And this confirms that it's correct. Okay, it says the current host name is AlarmPi. I don't know why it's called AlarmPi, but we're going to change it. It's asking you if you want to change it. It's up to you. I'm going to change it. So I'm just going to change this to Shari. You can call it anything that you want, though. All right, network interface is using DHCP, which is fine in my case. I will set it statically in my DHCP server. However, if you want to static it on your own, you're welcome to do so. You can say no. But I'm going to say no because I'm going to let my DHCP server manage that. So nothing to change there. The script allows you to select the OpenSSH port. Right now it's 222. 22 is the default normally, and since it's on my private network, and I would not remember this in the future, and I'll be beating my head against the wall trying to figure out why it won't connect, I am going to change this to just back to 22. Okay, and now we reboot. And as you notice, it gets disconnected again, and I am going to up arrow twice, and I'm going to start pinging again to see when it comes back online. Okay, we see it back online. I'm going to control C, and we're going to up arrow twice and get back into the device. Okay, it's not quite ready yet. Oh, here's what changed. Remember I changed that port to 22 rather than 222 or 222. So I can now remove this because 22 is the default and we should get right in now. There we go. And log back in with our new password that we just set. All right, so when you log back in, it comes up with another introduction. And basically what it's asking for is, do you want to continue with the configuration of using the template files? We do, so we want to say yes to that. And node number, which I'm going to verify, 42579, that's the right node number that we entered before. Your call sign, station call for the node. This is my node, so it's Kilo 3 Delta Oscar. And this is optional to you. This allows you to report stats up to All-Star, and they use that for figuring out maybe potential issues or how people are using it. I don't actually normally like to do that, so I don't report stats up to All-Star. And Asterisk can use either voice or CW for ID for SEC identification. If you select voice, ID is a simple GSM voice, which is very computer sounding. In this file, it tells you where it's located and is called nodeid.gsm. If you select yes to voice ID, then a voice ID will be created. If you select no, then the default is CW. I'm going to leave mine CW. So I'm going to say no. It's totally up to you. It doesn't really affect anything. Our bind port, we're not going to change the bind port. This is the default for the IX protocol, and I have no reason to change it. So I'm just going to leave it the same. All right, the next one asks what the duplex setting is. And for a Shari device, which is a half duplex, or I guess I call it semi-half duplex, because it does transmit telemetry and currency tones, it's number one. That's the default. That's what we want. So we're going to say OK. And here's where we want to know, enter the password for our node. 6812. And remember to use the number keys on top of the keyboard, not the ones to the right. I've already experienced that problem once, so you definitely don't want to do that. Okay, we don't want to set a password for IIX RPT, at least not at this time, so we're going to say no for that. All right, now we're asking about simple USB configuration, and we do need to make changes to this, but we'll do that a little later on. So at this point, we're just going to say no to this. All right, now we've configured Asterisk, basically, and we're going to restart it. So we're going to say yes to restart Asterisk. All right, we've completed the installation and configuration, the basic configuration of the software. And now we're at our main menu. This is the menu you will see every time you log in now. And we'll walk through some of this stuff a little bit later, but the first thing we want to do is set up the simple USB and do some tuning and stuff like that. So first step is we're going to use the simple USB tune menu, like this, and it'll load another application. All right, on the left-hand side, you see some options. The first one we want to change, I think, is B. Yeah, so we put B in here. And what that does is it changed it to B. If you look at the B now, the boost is currently disabled. We make sure we need to disable that one. And item F and G both need to be enabled. So they are currently disabled. So we would do F and G. So our F and G are now enabled. And we'll save this by clicking the W for right to save. All right, since we're done in here, we can now hit 0 and exit the menu. Okay, these next few things we're going to do might feel a little bit scary, but don't worry, it's no problem. We'll get through it real easy here. Okay, so we want to take option number 9, which is going to bring you into a command line interface. So you can just press 9 or you can arrow down and press enter. I'm going to press 9 and then enter. And we are now on the command line of the Shari. So we need to make a couple of small changes and then we need to set the frequency of the radio. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to change directory to a boot directory. And we're just going to show you what's in here. Lots of stuff. The one we're most interested in is commandline.txt, this one right here. And we're going to make a small couple of changes to it. So there is a editor here called Nano. It's very user-friendly. And you do nano space, and we're going to change commandline.txt. Before we do that though, I should probably make a copy of it. So we're going to make a backup copy just to be safe. We're going to copy commandline.txt, and we are going to copy it to our home directory. And the way you do that is you just put a tilde. That's your home directory. So now we'll have a backup copy of it over there. That's what it told you that it did. It put it into the root folder. So while we're here, we're going to go ahead and do again, going to bring up Nano now that we've copied our file, and we're going to do commandline.txt, and you press enter. And you see it's one line, and we just need to remove a few things from this line. So let me see, where's my list at here? All right, so we need to remove the console, this particular one right here. And that's because the Shari is gonna use this serial interface. So we need to make sure that there's not a console running on AM0. So we're just going to backspace it out, just like that. And we also need to do same thing with the one up here, the KGD BOC, or I don't know what it really stands for, but we need to get rid of this one as well. So we're going to backspace this out. Just like that. And to write this out and exit, you can do Control X. And you can say, yes, I want to save it. And if we get out of this by doing Control X again, oops, hang on. Gotta press enter to save it. There we go. So we're gonna look at it real quick, and when you can do that, just make sure it looks good. And we're going to just cat and it's command line. And you see our changes have been made. We've removed those two items. Okay, the next file we need to modify, we're gonna do nano again. Well, actually, we're gonna We're going to back it up first. Always safe to back it up first. And this is, we want to back up the config.txt file. So sorry if there's any microphone. I have it kind of have it in the middle of my keyboard. So, and we're going to connect, we're going to back it up to our home folder as well. Here you see it backed it up. Nano config.txt. Oop, I spelled nano wrong. I didn't spell nano at all, actually. I spelled nan. Okay, so we need to add one line to this. In the initial commented line right here, we are going to add DT overlay. Equals disable BT. So we're going to disable. I will put all of this in the show comments, by the way, just so you have all that stuff. And this is part of the documentation. When you get the Shari device, it comes with a nice long document. So I'm basically walking through that document and making sure everything's okay. So now we have in there DT overlay. Oops, I don't. Sorry, I looks like I'm used to using a different editor than this, where I means insert. So I'm glad I went back here and checked. DT overlay equals disable BT. All right, so we're going to do Control X, Y again, and Enter. And we're done with that. And let me just confirm that file looks okay. So we're going to cat that as well. DT overlay equals disable BT. That's what it's supposed to look like. Okay, with that changes, we now need to reboot. So we can just type in reboot right here if we want. And you saw we got disconnected. We will ping it until it comes back up. All right, we are back up. Let's reconnect again. Two ups. And we will log back in. And there we go, we're back up again. So we do need to do one more thing. We need to get in to set the frequency that we're going to use. That's our next thing here. So we're going to go back to 9, which is start the same shell interface we were just in. Now we're going to switch over to the user local sbin folder. Sbin. And there should be a program here called SA818. We're going to just to make sure. Do we have this? There it is. That's what we're looking for. So we are going to run this by doing SA818.prog. Okay, and we are going to configure the Shari Pi Hat. So that's number 2. And this is a UHF. So we're going to say 2. And we need to enter the transmit frequency now. And my frequency that I'm going to use here locally is 438.0125. And the same, exactly. This is not a duplex, so we are going to 438.0125. Do I want to use a subaudible tone? I am going to say yes to this, actually. It's not necessarily required, but no, I'm going to say no to this one, because this is a reserved frequency just for hotspots, so I'm going to say no. And squelch value, no subaudible. I'm going to say 2, and volume, I'm going to say 4, kind of middle of the road. We can come back later on and adjust all this stuff. Do I want to enable pre-emphasis? No, I do not. High pass filter? No, I do not. And low pass filter. And these are all things you can change later on if you figure out you need to do that. Is this correct? That is correct. We're going to go ahead and save it. Okay, programming has been successful. So at this point, we need to reboot again. So we're going to do reboot right here from the command line. And you see we get disconnected. Okay, so we just rebooted and it started talking to me already. So to give you an example of what happens whenever it reboots, I'm going to come back log in here again. And I'm going to reboot it again. And if I can get my hands around the microphone. I mistyped it. All right. Okay, so I'm going to come down here and I am going to reboot. Let's power reboot right here. It is. 15. I want you to listen to what you hear in the background. I have a radio here on the frequency. And when it rebooted, it started talking to me. This is what you're going to hear. What you should hear after you set your frequency properly. So there you go, it came up, it ID'd itself, and it gave you the IP address. At the same time, I'm looking over here at the Shari device, and it's tapping out in Morse code the IP address. So we'll do it and do Control-C. But that there's a great example. It's already online and functioning. We're not done, though. We want to come back in here and maybe do a little bit of tuning. So we're going to log back in again. Oops, that's not going to work. All right, so now we want to run the number 12 item, the simple USB tune menu application. So we're going to go ahead and run that. We were just in here just a little bit ago, but we want to look at like item number 2 in here. Let's see, where is 2? Oh, I see it. Set RX voice level. So we're going to do number 2. And this is kind of like, I'm going to turn down my power here real quick just to make sure that I'm going to turn down my power so I don't need any more power. It's sitting here right next to me. But I'm on the frequency and I'm going to key down. Kilo 3 Delta Oscar, testing 1, 2, 3. So you see it's really low there. I should probably boost that just a little bit. Let's see here. Let's enter. The current setting for is 500. I could probably almost go to 900 as low as that was. We'll see what it does. Kilo 3 Delta Oscar, testing 1, 2, 3. There we go. So that's much better. It probably could go up a little bit more. I think I could probably go in and adjust the settings on the first settings we did with setting the frequency and everything. There's a couple questions in there. But that's how you go back through and you can adjust that. And if we're going to come in here and we're going to say return, we go back to our menu. And you can also set the same output frequency, the transmit level. That's number 3. But it looks like, it sounded like number, that's probably about right. The transmit level is probably about right the way it is right now. So I'm not gonna go messing around with that very much more. But at this point, you now have a functioning Shari device and your node is up and running. So that's where we're gonna kinda end this video. There's a lot more you can do in here and I'm gonna do some follow-up videos like enabling Echolink and changing the dashboard that's available and things like that. There's a couple of little tweaks to the dashboard to make it much more functional. So I'm going to jump in there and do all that. But this was already a long video. I don't want to extend it much longer. And I'll bring out some future videos in extending this a little bit more. If you go out and look, search the internet for all-star commands and all-star functions. At this point, you can key down and give it commands to connect to different nodes. It's ready to go at this point. And there's some things you can do configuring other nodes for full time. We'll talk about that in a future episode as well. Lots of things you can do with this device now that it's up and running. But this video was to focus on just the build and getting the software loaded and making it at least functional. So I do appreciate you hanging out for this long video. If you'd like the video, smash that thumbs up button down below. Also, if you could please subscribe and click the bell button to get notified when we get new videos. That's so helpful for us, particularly since we're a brand new channel. It's the only way we're getting found is if the YouTube algorithm says that people are liking and watching. So would appreciate all that. 73, everybody, and we'll talk to you in the next video.